everybody. How the hell you doing? Welcome to Unscripted Unlimited, the hottest second show on the planet for us. Everything Unscripted Network killing it right now. We got Scaredy Cats, the horror show. We got the hottest wrestling show with Unscripted Wrestling. And we have Unscripted Unlimited here where we just talk about random shit.
Right.
Today, the random shit we're going to be covering is we will be doing a 2.5 men retrospective. I am, of course, one of your hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
How you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. This is going to be interesting because we've never done a sitcom retrospective before.
No, it was the first time, isn't it?
Yeah, and I picked this one for basically the sole reason that you and I have seen just about every episode, so we really don't have to...
Yeah, there's not much research
yeah.
involved. All right, we still do our due diligence, of course, but
yeah,
we know this show like the back of our hand, and for good reason. It's a great, entertaining show. Before we get into it, why don't we get a couple plugs off, bud?
Okay. Make sure you're listening to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night, mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. Be found on all major podcast platforms. That is on Wednesday nights around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time. Saturday nights, Unscripted Unlimited. Unscripted Unlimited is for us on Saturdays at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
But I jumped the gun there.
Here's another plug for us. Good stuff.
Saturday night for Dirt Sheet Dudes, they have the Hollywood Hangout. Mixer.com/Hollywood Hangout. That is their movie show around 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen to us, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Now, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, we're not doing shows. Daniel's going to be in Florida, and we figure, you know, Christmas, everybody's going to want to spend time, Christmas and New Year's, you know, family time. But we will be back January 7th talking New Year's Revolution 2007. January 14th, we will be rebooking 5 Royal Rumble matches of our choosing. January 21st, we're going to talk the 1992 Royal Rumble. And January 28th, we're going to talk the 2007 Royal Rumble. So in a month of January, 2007 pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Back when 2007 was still a good year until some guy from Canada fucked it up.
Damn it, Edge.
then, of course, listen to us. Saturdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Unscripted Unlimited. Again, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, no shows. But we will be back on January the 8th, I believe, with counting down our top 10 favorite NFL quarterbacks of all time.
Yes, that is going to be a good one. And then the following week, we will be finishing up our UFC countdown, and we will also be talking about Justice League. War.
That's the animated movie.
Yes.
Right?
It's an animated Justice League classic, and it'll be a good time.
All right. That'll be fun. And then I'll let us know what we're going to do for January 22nd. I got to have some thought.
That's fine.
Then, of course, listen to Daniel and Mindy tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Time for Scaredy Cats. Pulse, right?
We're going to be talking about Pulse, yep. The American version, it's going to be a good time.
Okay, so listen to that. And then this week for NFL Hard Hits, we don't know if we're doing a show yet or not. If we are, it is on Thursday, and I will be joining Eric because Clintus is putting work ahead of podcast. Jerk. And that's pretty much it.
All right. All right, Dougie, we got 2.5 men here, created by Chuck Lorre and Lee Aronson. Of course, starring the great Charlie Sheen, the man that is always winning. Also, alongside him, John Cryer and Agnes T. Jones. Of course, Ashton Kutcher comes in later. We will be talking about that. But there's a lot in this show, and there's a lot to talk about for a variety of reasons, because not only was the show cool, but there's one of these shows because of Charlie Sheen and how crazy that motherfucker is. I love him. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes shit, too. because a lot of stuff happened on this show.
Well, and here's the funny thing, too. Charlie Sheen, this show started in 2003 when sitcoms were still a big thing.
Yes.
And CBS created the show, or Chuck Lorre created the show, but CBS, you know, picked it up. And because CBS still had some sitcoms that were still, you know, running strong.
Yeah.
Everybody Loves Raymond was still going. I think that was in its seventh season.
Yeah.
Seventh season, probably starting the eighth season. Or it would have been the eighth season, you know, when it picked up. And also King of Queens was still going on with Kevin James. And those were CBS's two huge money-making shows.
Yeah.
You still had a few other shows, like I think Yes, Dear, which was another show that CBS had. It was that was still kind of going, not necessarily going strong, but it was still going.
Yeah.
I mean, and there may have been a couple others. Becker may have just ended. I'm not.
But this is a sure. There, this is a show at its prime that was making $3.2 million per episode.
Yeah, and Charlie Sheen too, because Charlie Sheen's coming off of, you know, a couple year run on Spin City because he took over from Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
All right, and that was like the first sitcom he had ever done.
Yeah.
But like you talk about a lot of the behind the scenes shit. Charlie Sheen was going through some personal problems around 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
Okay. But this show, you know, in 2003, this show technically became CBS's, you know, number one show because of, you know, how popular it was at the time. And it had a good time slot.
Yeah.
And I don't think you remember this or not. Well, because Mondays usually is not a good time for, was not necessarily a good time for us to watch sitcoms because Raw.
Yeah.
But Monday nights was one of CBS's big lineup nights.
Yeah.
For sitcoms. It would be, and it would be Everybody Loves Raymond at 9 o'clock. They'd have two other shows on at like 8 and 8:30, but Everybody Loves Raymond at 8 or at 9, and then 2 and a Half Men would come out at 9:30. And anything that followed Everybody Loves Raymond, people were still going to watch.
Right.
That's why Becker was so popular back in the day, because it followed Everybody Loves Raymond.
Exactly.
So 2 and a Half Men had that prime 9:30 time slot on Monday nights, which they kept until I want to say they kept it until season like 6 or 7, or maybe earlier than that, because they may have actually got moved to 9. Because I actually think when Big Bang Theory came on, Big Bang Theory got moved to 9:30. 2 and a Half Men was at 9, so like they kind of followed with one another.
Right.
And then, because then Big Bang Theory became the number, or CBS's number one show. But 2 and a Half Men still, I mean, it's still shown in syndication to this day. I mean, again, it only ended like 5 years ago. But to me, 2 and a Half Men was good for, I would probably say, the first 6 seasons.
Yeah.
Because when they introduced Chelsea in there, you know, as Charlie's girlfriend and then later fiance, I really felt like she dragged the show down. Because
is John Cryer's girlfriend?
No, Charlie's.
Oh yeah.
And I think also them showing how Alan, you know, becoming a mooch.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that dragged the show down too.
Yeah, no way.
Well, yeah, because also too, you had Charlie, because Charlie actually enjoyed having Alan around for like the first few seasons. And then, you know, by like season 7, he, you know, every episode he would tell Alan, I hate you. I want you out of my house. Get the fuck out. And it's just like, it's two brothers that didn't like each other. But yet one was mooching off the other. And it just, to me, it's just, it wasn't a good dynamic. And Jake had gotten older and more, he wasn't cute anymore. He was just annoying. Because, you know, when he was young and stupid, you know, everybody thought it was cute. But now he's a stupid teenager. Nobody gives a shit.
I mean, he was funny. There was funnier episodes in the later years. And I liked Jake's dynamic with Charlie as he grew up, though. I think they were kind of funny. And even when he was a youth, they had a really good dynamic. Alan was always, like, he was always kind of the straight man to other jokes. Like, yes, he was funny in his own right, and he had some weird, like, kinks and stuff and that made him funny. But it was usually him setting up for Charlie to do something. Or it's like situational comedy with him. The situation goes wrong, and it's just him reacting to it. It's not really him just being hilarious like Charlie is.
Right.
Jake's just there for a couple one-liners.
Yeah, and like, and again, there was a lot of, you know, funny, like I said, the first five, and even season six, like, they did have some pretty good episodes, too.
Yeah.
And season seven, there was a couple of them.
When Alan got with Rose, what season was that?
When he dated her?
Yeah. And the whole marriage thing, and then she left him and took his money.
Oh, with Candy?
Yeah, Candy, yeah. I'm sorry.
That was, they started dating in season three. And then the beginning of season four, it had been revealed that she had thrown him out.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was because, and Candy started out as somebody Charlie was sleeping with.
And she was just a stupid, like kind of broad. And she was funny. She was adorable, but she was dumb. I mean, she had a appetite for, she was very sensual with Alan and stuff.
Yeah.
And, but when she found out that she could just get rid of him, he accidentally told her that she could get rid of him and keep the money and all that. Her face, you remember her face change?
Because it was half hers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, when... the one scene where they're trying to fix her car, and he goes, I'm going to call AAA, and she goes, good, there's no sense drinking over there.
Yeah, that stuff was fun.
I thought that was funny. I mean, and they've had some great, you know, side character, Berta.
Yeah, Berta's hilarious. She's just the perfect, it's not my job type maid.
Yeah.
But like...
And she's also good because a lot of the stuff that would come out of her mouth would actually be the title of the episode.
Yeah. She goes down with Benson and the butler from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is the all-time best cleaning people in sitcoms.
Yeah. Another underrated one that I do feel like I have to throw in there is Niles from The Nanny.
Yes.
Which one of these days, like, we will be talking about The Nanny. Because I do want to get back in watch several episodes of that so we could do a retrospective because I forgot how much I liked that show.
It's crazy how much, like, that was, like, an essential character for a sitcom for a while, especially around sitcoms with, like, well-off families.
Yeah.
Like Soap and Fresh Prince and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Charlie's well-off here, so that's why it makes sense he would have a maid.
Right. And, like, Berta, like, you call her a maid? It's like, no, I'm a housekeeper.
Yeah.
And, but like, I was watching the episode earlier. Remember the episode with the old man? Charlie slept with his wife.
Yeah.
And Berta comes in and goes, what's going on here? And she goes, and Alan goes, it's kind of complicated. She goes, Charlie, she goes, got it. Alan goes, how could you get it? She goes, well, there's a Rolls Royce in the driveway, and she pulled out a pair of stockings. She goes, I found these hanging on the mailbox, so I'm guessing I'm guessing your brother's got some bimbo upstairs, and Norman here is either her daddy or her sugar daddy. And she goes, tell me I'm wrong. And Norman goes, I'm the husband. Berta looks at Helen and goes, judges? Alan looks at Norman, and Norman looks at Alan and says, you got to give it to her.
But I do have to go back to your earlier point because it made me think of some stuff. And as the show went on, I understand it did get a little worse and worse and worse. But it's also – it's Two and a Half Men. It even says it in the title. This was a show that was always going to be hurt by time because it's about the dynamic was so good at first. And I agree with the Mooch stuff kind of ruining stuff because Alan, even though he was a doof and he was an idiot, he was funny to laugh at, you always got the sense he was a good guy. He was a good guy. He didn't seem like selfish like he did in later seasons. He was a good guy just trying to make it, and shit just always went wrong. And then you had the rich, kind of cool rock star type brother who was a bit of a dick too but had a heart of gold as well. And then they're just trying to help this little adorable kid, you know, make it through in life and grow up. And so that dynamic at first, and Berta, she was caring too, even though she would be there for the funny one-liners. That first few seasons was amazing.
Yeah, but then like Charlie, you know, in like season 6 and season 7, and then of course season 8 where he really started to go downhill, he didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Like you'd say he had a heart of gold. It's like in those later seasons, I don't think he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, the show got hurt by time because Jake was obviously going to grow up. It's not like, you know, animation.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, Bart Simpson can still be
a kid how many years later. Yeah, you can't keep him a half man forever. You know, now he's a man. It's not that now John Cryer's the half man.
Yeah. But, like, it's just, but, like, this show, and again, and I wish I would have looked up the schedule that the show was on. Because it's interesting for me. It's interesting to see too, like their time slot and like what shows went on before, what shows went on after. Because that, like I said, that Monday CBS lineup. I mean, and now like now it's not necessarily like the primetime comedy lineup. Cause, well, I mean, you have two sitcoms on, and then NCIS comes on after.
Yeah.
But, like, that Mondays at 9 p.m. on CBS, because I don't know if you know this or not, but CBS and NBC actually kind of competed with each other, especially in the 90s, Mondays from, like, 8 to 9.
Because
CBS would have sitcoms on from 8 to 9, and then I think they would air a drama.
Yeah.
But then... Or no, NBC would, I'm sorry. And then CBS would go 8 to 10 straight sitcom.
Okay.
Okay. And then it would be like the same thing like TV or like NBC and ABC would compete on Tuesdays and on Wednesdays. And CBS and NBC would compete again on Monday.
Right.
And on Friday, ABC would have all of it. And then ABC actually sold the rights to their TGIF lineup for Fridays. Well, they didn't sell the lineup, but they sold a couple of the shows that were part of that lineup to CBS.
Right.
So, like, you know, we talk all the time on our wrestling show about the head-to-head competition and the ratings wars, you know, in between, like, WWF and WCW. But the networks like CBS, ABC, NBC, back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s when sitcoms were at their height, there was a huge competition. And like even in the early 2000s, there was still somewhat of a competition. But CBS, like 2003-ish, because you still had Raymond going strong, because you still had King of Queens going strong, because Yes, Dear was somewhat of a cult hit. Now you had Two and a Half Men with Charlie Sheen, who is a very popular actor.
Yeah.
And you had a couple other shows that I can't remember off the top of my head. But because you have them, CBS is king of the sitcoms. And there's no way to prove that they're not.
Yeah, they've just had so many hits. And this was one of the big ones. And there's a huge reason for that. I mean, the comedy, the drama, the storytelling, it was one of those sitcoms that everything gets cleared up in the episode. There's a couple of, you know, part twos. There's a couple of, relaying, like, narratives that'll drag on. And, like, it doesn't – doesn't feel like you don't have anything invested when you're watching it. You can binge it and feel like you're growing with the characters. So it has that, and everyone's moving at a pace. It's not like the episode's done and it's back to normal. It has that vibe a little bit, but there is still stuff that carries forward. I think they do that well.
Yeah. And
like his relationship with like Rose keep coming back and Candy and other people.
And what was funny about Rose is the fact that Rose, yes, was her, was Charlie's stalker, but every time they needed a babysitter for Jake, they called her.
Yeah.
Which is actually the truth, because again, there were several episodes where you would see Rose in the, or Jake sitting in the living room and Rose sitting there watching TV with him. And basically because Alan and Charlie called her to babysit.
Yeah.
Because her and Jake got along. Jake adored her.
Right.
And, she was weird around Charlie. I think the whole thing, though, where, like, she moved to London and then, but then came back and all that, that was kind of...
It got a little out there. It got a little out there, but that was always okay for her character. It made sense because she was out there.
Yeah, and then, but, like, even season 5 where, like, it was announced she was back, but she only made cameo appearances. She wasn't part of the main lineup anymore.
Yeah.
Which was weird, but I think that's also because the storyline had kind of run its course.
Yeah, there's not too much more you can do with her without having her be around and be funny, and she's hiding on the patio or whatever and stuff like that. But
yeah,
and you get some running jokes out of her, but storytelling wise, it made sense for her to kind of go to cameos. Now, one thing I did want to touch on: Ashton Kutcher.
Okay.
Was it completely over by the time? Was there nothing this young man could do? Because he tried. I can tell in his performance. I can tell with – I mean, the show had definitely lost something, but he did try. What do you think?
I think at that time – I actually enjoyed a lot of season 9, which was his first season.
Okay.
Okay. Season 10, not so much. Because they were getting rid of a lot of things that made season 9 so great. They were getting rid of them by season 10.
Yeah.
And Jake was gone. Jake had been done, had been kind of subjected to cameo appearances himself. And so, like, with Ashton Kutcher, I think that they tried, because he was a successful sitcom star himself.
Yeah.
Okay? That 70s show. We can't gloss over how successful that run was. And even though he was getting more and more Hollywood roles, because 2002, 2003-ish, he was becoming the most successful movie star in the world, or one of.
Yeah.
All right, and he was banging Demi Moore, who in the 90s was one of the hottest women in Hollywood.
It took her right from Bruce Willis. That's an underrated celebrity death match, Bruce Willis and Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
That was a funny episode.
But, like, so we can't underscore how, good of a sitcom star he was and how devoted he was. Because like I said, he stayed there till the end.
Yeah. And I mean, that 70s show is still a classic.
Yeah.
And he was a huge part of it.
Yeah. And Topher Grace, who, played Eric Foreman for the first, 8, 9 seasons, or for the first, I think it was 7 seasons, right?
Yeah.
7 or 8. Because didn't the show go 9 seasons?
Yes.
Okay. So
he left the last one.
Yeah. All right. He wasn't doing – he just basically left just because – I mean, because he's not that big a star in Hollywood. He had one good Hollywood role in Good Company with Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
But
– I mean, he landed a Spider-Man money slot. I mean, he sucked as Venom, but that's still a paycheck. It's a big – that is a big Hollywood role.
Right. But, like, Ashton Kutcher stayed, and I think they felt like, okay – if, you know, we know how good this guy is.
Yeah.
So let's kind of throw him in a role. Hopefully he makes it stick. Maybe that dynamic of Allen and Walden will work. And again, I liked what I saw in season 9. Season 10, not so much. But I will say in season 11, when Amber Tamblyn joined the cast as Charlie's daughter, I do think that kind of reinvigorated the show a little bit, because you had a female version of Charlie, and she was a true female version of Charlie because, you know, she liked women.
Yeah.
And she was basically a sex addict, like Charlie was.
Yeah.
So basically, they found a way to reincarnate Charlie, almost.
Charlie with boobs.
Yeah, and so like I liked what they did in season 11. Season 12, I felt like they were just
out of game.
Like you knew it was done.
Yeah,
but
because it didn't totally make sense anymore. It didn't really make sense to replace Charlie in the beginning, because the whole thing was the brother dynamic. So bringing in Ash in there, but he was a Hollywood star because he had already had big blockbuster movies by this point. Mr. and Mrs. Smith had already came out and stuff like that.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith was Brad Pitt.
Yeah, they look close enough alike. But he had
Hollywood. Yeah, he had Killers, which was a Hollywood movie, which was him and Katherine Heigl, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, there was several other, there was several others. He had done so much in Hollywood that, again, he was considered one of the bigger Hollywood stars.
Yeah.
And now he comes back, he does this. Because it's kind of like what Charlie Sheen had to do for Michael J. Fox at Spin City.
Yeah. It was kind of cool how he always came back to his roots, though. He even did that with The Ranch for a little bit and stuff. That they, even though he's been in big blockbuster movies, which I'm sure he's getting paid a lot more, he'll always come to a sitcom, you know?
Right.
Which is a cool quality.
Yeah, because like with Ashton Kutcher, and again, the perfect comparison is, you know, Charlie Sheen having to fill in, because Michael J. Fox, after the fourth season of Spin City, decided to step down.
Yeah.
Because the Parkinson's disease was really taking him over.
Right.
So he wanted to step away, even though Spin City was, again, one of the biggest sitcoms out there. Wednesday time slot, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And it was hot and rolling. But they didn't want to cancel the show. So what did they do? They had Charlie come in, because Charlie is actually friends with Michael J.
Yeah.
You know, they're buddies. So they decided, okay, this is what we'll do. We'll bring him in. And Charlie Sheen actually got a Daytime Emmy Award. Or not a Daytime Emmy. He got a Primetime Emmy for it. For his performance. Now, again, it only lasted a couple of seasons. But that's because ABC wanted to get the hell out of the sitcom game. Because they knew that CBS was beating their ass.
Yeah.
And it was also, you know, them shuffling around the shows because... But, like, and that's also a problem, too. Now, Two and a Half Men never really had that problem, because for years they had that Monday slot. But, you know, season 12, when they got moved to Thursdays at 9, which their season 12, which was Thursdays, you know, the Thursday lineup was always, it was Big Bang Theory at 8, The Crazy Ones at 8:30, which was a Robin Williams show, which bombed.
Yeah.
Then you had, that was the name of the show. Oh, that, or then you had Two and a Half Men, and then you had a show called The Millers.
Oh, I remember that.
Okay. And The Millers and The Crazy Ones didn't work. but you still had Two and a Half Men and Big Bang Theory. And this is season 11 of Two and a Half Men. But Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men were still making a lot of money for CBS.
Yeah.
And that's one thing you got to remember too, because as long as they're making money.
Yeah, this made money for a lot. It had one of the most viewed sitcoms of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, this had a great following. Like you said, I mean, Monday nights, because then you have the teenagers that have school the next day that don't want to quite go to bed. You have the dads that are having the beer after work, hanging out before bed and have to go to work the next day. It's a great slot. And this is definitely that 18 to maybe 40 demographic.
Yeah.
So it had a lot of young men and older men watching.
And you got to remember, Mondays are a hard night because you have Monday Night Football during football season.
Yeah.
And you have Monday Night Raw.
Right.
All right. And luckily, this show came along in 2003 when, you know, people were kind of getting sick of what, you know, WWE was doing. I know 2003 is actually one of your favorite years.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, people were getting tired of seeing Triple H on top all the time. So the fact that this show, along with Everybody Loves Raymond, and any other show that was on the CBS Monday night lineup, the fact that they were getting high ratings says a lot to the fact that, because they had stiff competition, because you had people that, you know, 15 to 20 million people that were watching Monday Night Football. You had the 6 or 7 million people that were watching WWE.
Yeah.
And now you have this show, which was getting, what, 4 to 5 million viewers?
Yeah. A lot of people.
Yeah. And it just, it says, it's a real testament to the show and also how powerful sitcoms still were at the time. Because now you're not getting that. Because now, like, because what also made things too is, like, with the sitcoms, like, it was either filmed in front of a live studio audience or, you know, you had the laugh track. But filmed in front of a live studio audience, I always thought was kind of cool because, like, you could hear people laugh, like, because you knew when they were trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, with shows today like Young Sheldon and there's a couple other ones out there, like, even Modern Family, it just, like, you figure out when they're trying to be funny, but it's, like, sometimes it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody there to laugh at you.
Absolutely. No, but do you remember Miley Cyrus on this show?
Yeah, she did two episodes, I think, right?
Yeah.
She was Missy, the daughter of a friend of Walden's.
Yes.
There was a lot of great guest appearances on the show. You go back to season one. Megan Fox.
Hilary Duff.
Yeah, she did season 10.
Yep.
But season one, you know, Megan Fox, Jenna Elfman, Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell, Robin.
Yeah. But in the episode he did on here, he played one of Charlie's ex-girlfriends that had a sex change. And Berta, of course, came up with the line that they named the episode, An Old Flame with a New Wick. I mean, God bless her and God rest her soul. I mean, Conchita Farrell, you know, obviously no longer with us.
Yeah, she was a great actress, and this was an iconic role.
Yeah.
And this was an iconic show, Doug. I mean, overall, the whole run, I would give an 8 out of 10.
I would, too. I would say, I mean, the first 5 seasons, I think, started out as a 10.
Yeah.
And then it went down to about a 9, but I would say it stopped at an 8.
Well, it might have stopped actually at like a 6. It did digress in quality pretty far, but at its prime, it's one of the best of all time. This was the 2.5 Men retrospective. This was a lot of fun, and we're going to do more of these sitcom retrospectives, Dutchie?
Yeah, I mean, I got like 50 of them off the top of my head, and you know I do.
I know you do. So,
And thank God there's more streaming services out there so I can have 50 of them at the top of my head.
Yes. So we will be going on our break now, our holiday break. Me and Mindy will do a Scaredy Cats next week, and we will be doing a pre-record for the week after for the holidays. But besides that, we would like to wish everybody a happy Merry Christmas and a happy holidays. And
yeah, happy holidays, everybody. Everybody be safe. Don't mooch off your relatives too much. And make sure you buy a nice big gift. Nice big gift, maybe car. Bus.
I'm getting you a bus.
New home. Let your relatives know how much you really love them, and you don't just love them just because they have money.
And with that being said, Dougie, this is a great episode. It was a great year. We'll see everybody in the new year, and hell yeah.
All right. Later, people.